Silverman, and I will be traveling to Winchester, Indiana, to make an announcement of importance to that community. It's the first of many such public announcements that give effect to a policy our administration put in place from our first day, and that is to do whatever is possible, whenever possible, to bring new life and jobs and vitality to the smaller communities of our state. IEDC, our job-seeking agency, has these instructions and has already achieved a number of new investments in smaller towns in Indiana. Our rural strategy, which Becky Skillman leads, is very well defined. By the end of this year, for instance, we'll have, we believe, as many as 10 ethanol and biodiesel plants, all of these in small and mid-sized communities. And then there are on occasion opportunities for the public sector to make siting decisions of its own. And the marching orders for all of our departments are, whenever possible, to place these activities of government in communities where they'll be very meaningful. And today we'll be announcing that the new BMV Mail Center, bringing together in one place for the first time the mail handling operations of that agency, will be in Winchester, Indiana. 60 jobs in a community that I believe will welcome them. 60 jobs doesn't mean a lot in Indianapolis or Carmel or Fort Wayne, but it can mean an awful lot in a town the size of Winchester. And the BMV, I know, is going to get a high quality and stable workforce. And a great bargain for its dollar. So we're very, very pleased about this. This is the first of many such announcements you can expect. And we said, as Becky and I ran for office, I traveled through virtually every town in this state, many of them multiple times. We are not giving up on one community or one county. And as our policy begins to roll out, I hope folks will see how serious we were.
Do you take over an existing facility there? Or is there
let me ask Bill Davis to speak to this. He's worked very closely with us and, of course, knows the real estate very well.
Actually, there is a building that is existing that formerly housed a supermarket that has been offered by a private individual there that has agreed to make the space available the way BMV would like it.
Will these be new jobs, or are we just moving jobs from Indianapolis or wherever?
Well, let me ask Joel to speak to this, but in general, for no good reason that I've ever understood, we've been opening mail in all 92 counties. Of course, we want mail and internet, the processing of internet orders, to be a much bigger part, a bigger percentage of BMV transactions, so folks don't have to take their time to travel to a branch in the first place. And those percentages are on their way up. Joel tells me it's very possible there'll be, at some stage, a need for a second such center. Joel, anything to add to that?
I think the primary benefit growth that we have in our mail and internet processing is significant. We've had a doubling of that business the fourth quarter, 50% increase the third quarter last year. So we're seeing our customers more and more desiring to do business in that way with us. So for the most part, there are going to be new jobs that will be doing this function. However, the mail has been processed, as the governor said, across the state in all the branches. And not necessarily full-time people in each of those branches, but part of the time they were processing mail, other part of the time they were waiting on customers at the counter. Now they can focus 100% on the customers at the counter and not be called back to the back office to process this mail. In addition, where we have people in Indianapolis doing mail full-time, they're 2.5 times as productive and process a little less than 30,000 transactions a year, where our customer service representatives in the branches process about 12,000 a year. So overall efficiency and productivity will improve, as well as customer service in all the branches, because they can focus on the walking traffic there.
Mm-hmm.
Winchester's not exactly on the Postal Service main line. Are you concerned that there might be a lag time in getting some people's work processed?
No, I don't. It shouldn't be a problem.
Was Winchester one of the communities that lost the license barrier? Because I remember you said you were going to try very hard to put the mail center in one of those communities, those 30 communities.
Everything we do in the Bureau is very county-oriented, so we're looking at counties. We have three counties in the state that lost two license branches during our reallocation of resources last year. Those three counties were DeKalb, north of Fort Wayne, which I think you're familiar with. And the other two are right in the midst of, surrounded by Winchester. So Wayne County, as well as Randolph County, had two branches that were closed. Winchester's kind of in the middle of both those counties, which, from at least an economic viewpoint, we will have six times the jobs that those branches lost in the closings.
Nikki, if your question is, in addition to searching for a smaller community, did we pay attention to where branches closed? The answer is yes, of course.
Open?
What's opening day?
Probably June. Our target is June of this year.
Nikki, we will process both mail and internet orders.
Yes.
Governor, can you talk about the defeat of the cigarette tax and what your plans are from here?
I'm sorry. I regret it, and I think it was a wrong decision. I've never under any illusions that this would be easy to accomplish, but around here we believe if something is right, you should try it, whether the odds are long or short. And I'm glad that another piece or two of our policy to try to discourage young people from smoking or help just current smokers to abandon it are moving forward. But this was the most important piece. It is the most effective step, as the data shows, to reduce smoking, especially among young people. And it remains a good idea, and we ought to try again.
Is it dead for this year?
It might be. I don't have at this point any in particular encouragement that there's another way to move forward.
Did you bring any of the lawmakers on that committee down to your office to talk to them about
it? Yes, I did.
All of them or some of them?
I communicated with all of them one way or another.
Did it concern you that four people lose a child from
I thought it was important there be a vote. And I guess I'm not surprised if some folks found they had something better to do. But I do think people ought to stand up and be counted on issues, and even those who voted wrong, I think, should be commended at least for standing up and taking a position.
A lot of those who voted against the tax, if they wanted to know where the money would go, was there any effort, or could there be an effort to specify where that money would go?
Sure. I thought the legislature ought to have a chance to do that. We could always use it to pay down debt to schools and local government, which we've only begun to bring current. But this was always a health issue to me, and to me the question should have been separate. Is it a good idea to discourage kids from smoking in the most effective way possible? Yes, it is. And we should have taken that step and then promptly decided whether to use the money to continue our fiscal recovery or for some other purpose. I would have been open-minded about that.
Why does it matter whether the legislators were doing it for health reasons? I mean, if they wanted to see a place for the money to go, I mean, why not give it to them so you can achieve your goal of health reasons?
I said 100 times that I was perfectly open to any use. I thought it better for me not to try to prescribe or dictate that use. I frankly think it's a dodge for people to say they voted against what they, I assume, agree is a good idea because they didn't know exactly where their dollars would go.
I have a couple silly questions for today.
Attention, kids.
I was wondering if you knew when or if the building would ever have working water fountains again during session. And I see lots of people trying to use them, but none of them work.
I'll get right on it. I don't consider that silly. Drinking a lot of water is another principle of wellness. It is. I didn't know that. and we will report it immediately. Thank you.
Could you address the abortion legislation that came out of committee yesterday requiring doctors to tell patients that life begins at birth and the fetus is feeling pain? What are your thoughts?
I haven't looked at it yet, but I will say that in general, I believe that more information is always, almost always a good idea. And there was legislation last year that expanded the information available to a woman facing this choice. But I haven't looked at that, and I haven't made any decision about this particular bill.
Governor, the legislation that would call for, I guess, nonpartisan or computer-generated redistricting.
Uh-huh. I support it. Always have.
Give us some reasons for
it. Yes, because I think not just in Indiana, but nationally, one of the big defects in our political system today is the lack of competition. And in far too many places, folks don't have a meaningful choice. And I think that very artificially drawn districts that aren't geographically sensible and are clearly drawn to advantage one party or the other also breed some cynicism about the process. So I have supported and would gladly sign a measure that moves us to some more nonpartisan approach to this.
Yes, Senator Garton said yesterday that he believes strongly that legislative districts are very competitive. Is he being self-serving?
No, but I don't deviate from my view that many of the districts are artistic, to say the least, in the way they're drawn. And that just as in the U.S. Congress, we have a relatively few districts which are competitive. And it's not a partisan issue, really. I think each party and its incumbents has benefited from this in the past. But I think there should be a better way, in a way that builds more public confidence.
Governor, we have a number of schools in the Terre Haute area, and I'm sure across the state, mm-hmm. concerned about K-12 funding right now, mm-hmm. at this point. Could you just address what your plans are for education and education funding in 2016?
Yeah, I hope to be able to resume, as I've always said, some significant increases, I hope tied to important new programs that make education not only a little better funded, but also enhanced or better in some way. One reason that I was so impatient to try to get the state out of bankruptcy and back to balance in 1 or 2 years, not many years, is exactly so that we can do more for education. And you will have noticed that the minute we had some additional cash from the amnesty success, the first thing we did with it was begin to pay back schools. So they come first with me, top priority, but a broke state can't do very much, even though it would like to, even for its top priority. And we got a credit rating increase this week, perhaps you noticed. It's a very positive sign. The world and the markets have seen Indiana's getting a handle on its fiscal problems. And we have to a long way to go still. But as soon as we're arriving at solvency, schools come first.
Mm-hmm.
I looked hard at it, but you'll have noticed we didn't do that. I thought it was a little too arbitrary. What is clear is that we could spend much more money in the classroom. We need to free the schools to do this, take away some of the rules and regs, or give them the freedom to escape the rules and regs that take time away from teaching and dollars away. We're working right now to make sure that they can go together on insurance and energy and things that have been hard for them to pool their purchasing power. So I thought that was a little too arbitrary, but at the same time, it's not an excuse for inaction. We can do much better. And again, every 1% improvement, we could hire 1,500 teachers. So let's all pull together and work on that.
Yes, of
course.
To get us back on fiscal track, and yesterday the House passed a significant property tax bill that would give a one-time tax credit and cost the state $147 million off the bottom line. Do we have that money to give?
Well, we have the cash, and we might even have it while achieving a balanced budget, but I'm troubled by anything that at this point, until we really have restored the state to solvency, you've got to be very careful about new spending items that aren't funded. We've worked very, very hard to balance the budget and faster than anybody thought possible, and I want to be very careful not to unbalance it just as we are achieving that important step forward.
The bill as it stands now would abolish property taxes in 09. If that reaches your desk in that form or something?
Well, I'd have to look. You know, I don't believe in promises that I'm not fairly certain can be kept. And I haven't looked that closely at that language, but if it establishes a requirement that I believe is completely impractical, I'd want to visit with the legislature about modifying it, because that's no way to build public confidence, to make pronouncements that can't be met. That's exactly the problem in transportation. We have promised over $2 of roads for every $1 we have, and that's not responsible. That's not truthful, and I wouldn't want to commit a similar mistake on the property tax side.
1001 also contains language that would require referendums for many school or any government construction projects. I know you've been interested in school construction. You had tough new standards last year. I know schools are worried about this new referendum requirement particularly. What do you think about that?
Well, I would prefer that schools, as I think we are seeing, by the way, just sharpen their pencils and are a whole lot more thoughtful and careful about their property taxpayers and about whether every penny of some new building project is really required. The data is very clear. Indiana builds more expensive buildings than most states. We may need additional remedies. And I would certainly look at it, because this is a problem. It is the single biggest driver of higher property taxes. And we do need some moderation in school construction.
Governor, tomorrow is the 20th anniversary of the Challenger explosion.
Yeah.
I'm curious, what do you remember about that day and where you were?
I imagine every American remembers, but I remember very clearly because I was in the White House on the second floor of the West Wing in my office. And I went to the first floor just about the time that in Pat Buchanan, it was, did something that one never did, burst into the Oval Office without checking first to make sure the president had heard the news. And then a few of us gathered and began to try to take it in. Very shocking moment. Had a lot of friends at NASA at the time, and they quickly came to mind. You know, it occurs to me that just by coincidence, I'm probably one of the very few people who was sitting in the White House when both shuttles were lost, because I was there again in the more recent event, and there probably aren't too many people, can't think of another offhand, who had that experience twice right there.
What were you doing with the second?
It was a Saturday, wasn't it? I was working in my office, and TV was on in the outer office, and someone said there's some problem, and I went and I saw the streaks, and I guess maybe we all knew, but certainly based on the experience I had before, I knew that it probably was a fatal, irreversible event. I went along to the memorial service. I remember one of the most indelible memories was the Challenger Memorial Service, and one of those things you hope not to ever have to attend again.
I understand that Senator Nugent and Representative
Bischoff.
Bischoff, yeah. Thank you. were in the office to talk to you about the,
yeah.
the deal in Lawrenceburg.
Yeah.
I just wondered what your thoughts were about that revenue sharing deal and whether you think that answers some of the criticism about that.
I think it's a very wise move, and yes, I think it should. It's exactly what I had suggested to folks down there would be in order, because I thought that the criticism was legitimate, that the benefits of that all that money were not being shared, especially with some counties that are struggling and poorer. And I think they brought up Bob and Johnny have brought off a very good thing there, along with the local officials. I've been very forthright in many trips to Southeast Indiana that I thought that a deal was a deal, and I think it's fair to say that if it weren't for me and Johnny, that a state struggling for money would have torn a lot of it out of there and maybe other riverboat communities, but that I really thought they had a responsibility to address the criticism. That it wasn't being shared wisely or properly, or wasn't being spent wisely, and I think they've done a great job and provided a good answer to those criticisms.
Thank you, Governor. Would you explain the moral obligation clauses that are in the P3 authorization and proposed lease?
I'll refer you to Chuck Chalio for the Arcania of bond.
There is Arcania, but there is a general principle too, and I know that my readers are concerned that it might obligate the state to pick up costs if the operator fails to get its expected rate of return and that kind of thing.
The answer to that is no. All the risk shifts to the operator, along with all the cost of maintaining the road, which right now exceed the revenue. And, I hope that the operator will achieve some measure of success, but frankly, I don't care, and it's not our problem. What we get is a better toll road, absolute guarantees of performance, or we can keep the money and take the road back. Enormous new investments that the state has not been able to afford in the first few years and probably throughout, and an enormous lump sum check that will benefit primarily St. Joe County, Elkhart County, Lake County, and the other four in the north, but also have great jobs benefits throughout the state of Indiana. It is a fabulous opportunity, more so for the area of your readership than anywhere else by far, but as you may have noticed, around America, as nearby as Illinois, Democratic legislators are preparing bills to try to imitate what Indiana has done. And I'm glad we got there first.
On the point of benefits going to northern Indiana, originally it was said that 34% of net proceeds would be distributed to that area. Now it's gross proceeds. I mean, your county bond repayment, $225 million, is part of the 34%. Why the change, and how does that benefit the region?
Oh, you're asking how would $1.1 billion benefit the region? Well, that's not very hard to answer. Yeah. Well, frankly, that can be argued flat around. I have thought it would be fair that the debt that attached those seven counties be paid out of the new revenue to those seven counties, but it would be okay with me to do it the other way. In either event, there are hundreds of millions of dollars. After we have built every project that we know of in St. Joe County, Elkhart, and the other five, after we have distributed $100 million to just those seven counties for any local purpose they need, after we have allocated $100 million to the RDA, there are hundreds of millions more dollars that we will have to find new purposes to invest in just seven counties. It is, they have won the Powerball, and I'm happy. I think that's as it should be. It'll be a very exciting prospect to work with the leaders up there to try to figure out how best to use hundreds of millions of dollars to bring new jobs through new investments that the state will have a chance to make. It's a remarkable turnaround from today, when absent major moves, we will have the sad duty to start removing half of the projects on the books from the books.
Governor, do you plan an advertising campaign
on major moves?
The answer is yes, that those many, many groups who are enthusiastically supporting this, and it constitutes almost the entire economic sector of the state, the manufactured housing industry, the housing industry, the obviously all the building industries and business at large, are eager to state their enthusiasm for it. And as I understand it, and I don't know the details, many have contributed to a fund, and there'll be some very positive advertising to help folks see what a sensational opportunity this is. You know, one struggles to find the right metaphor, but I have come to think of this as the Louisiana Purchase of our time for Indiana, a transforming transaction. We will see enormous benefits and be able to touch them, frankly, for the rest of our lives from the arrangement that we have been offered.
Will this be radio and TV? And do you know when?
I honestly don't know. I heard talk about they were going to do both newspaper and radio, but I'm not sure.
And it's paid by them, correct?
It's paid
by these groups, not your campaign.
That's correct. No, it's not a campaign.
Democrat lawmakers are starting to pressure the toll road legislators to vote no, talking about direct mail pieces and coming after your seats.
Mm-hmm.
How much one-on-one time are you having with the toll road legislators?
It's basically what I'm doing. You know, it's what I will do. I cannot tell you how deeply I care about this. We will not have this chance again. We must not let the jobs and growth that this would make possible pass by. I'm trying to be patient and charitable as I listen to folks propose to shoot their own districts in both feet and every other extremity. It's astonishing that, as I say, that we arrive at the door with the Powerball check and people say, no, tear it up. But I just think that folks probably still need a little more time to think about it and to consider how fantastic, particularly in the toll road counties, as I illustrated a few minutes ago, this opportunity is. And I just earnestly hope that when they do, I still hope that this will wind up a bipartisan activity, as it ought to be. I'm hoping to share the credit with any member of the other party who's willing to help us get this done.
Last night, Democrats walked off in protest over a Marion County Airport Authority bill that they say will shift control of the airport authority to Republicans and give them new taxing authority in surrounding counties. Have you looked at the bill?
I think I remember one maybe similar last year. I haven't seen this one. Not our bill, not an interest of mine. Well, we're off to Winchester. Thank you very much.
Thank you.